Hello, this is Dr. Susan Call with Temple of Health Radio Show, and today we're pleased to have back on Dr. Lynn Horowitz, the author of many books, including the bestseller Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola. And I had the pleasure of recently listening to his DVD set, Iatrogenicide, the Biotechnology, Politics, and Economics of Modern Pandemics. And, of course, this is very timely, as I think the World Health Organization declared a pandemic this week. Welcome, Dr. Horowitz. Thanks for getting up so early.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Cole. It's actually not early. I went to bed probably about 3 hours ago, you know. We're at lunchtime, with Live H2O, the administration of the concept of the living water is just really coming up. We're a week away now from the biggest, greatest spiritual concert in Earth's history. And so I've been burning the midnight oil.
Tell us about the concert.
Oh, well, sure. I'm happy to. You know, you go to LiveH2O.org. Mm-hmm. I think Don Newsom has on BBS Radio the player for LiveH2O.tv, where we have 10 different channels that are going to be broadcasting live stream video from 12 different locations around the world that reflect the people coming together to bring their voices in harmony to literally vibrate, resonate the universal solvent, water, all over the world, oceans, rivers, streams, lakes, for the purpose of bringing on the universal healer, love, using the universal language, music. And so we're going to marry humanity's heart to do that for the purpose of bringing on lasting peace on earth, world health, and universal prosperity in all ways. And that's essentially what I know that you know, that the military, medical, petrochemical, pharmaceutical cartel has been keeping from us. That's our destiny. So we're basically now coming together to celebrate the divine appointment and the fulfillment of so many beautiful prophecies that we can create a better planet than we're currently witnessing and experiencing, and that this is about the human family who is maturing to the point where we're saying enough is enough. We need to protect our beautiful planet and our own bodies filled with water from the pollution and the manipulation, the coercion, the enslavements that have been going on. In other words, we're telling the global elite to let our people go, and we are the people, so we're just basically dropping out of their game, and we want to create, and we shall create a different game. It's basically the new world order that the creator wants, not the new world order that the global industrialists want.
And it's so appropriate, because if there's darkness, all you have to do is turn on the light.
Yay! Isn't that wonderful that we have that winning team happening?
Yeah. Well, that's super. So would you like to tell them a little bit about your educational tetrahedron website as well, so that they can get some more information on your many publications and educational articles and everything?
Oh, sure. You know, there's so many different websites that I could refer you to. The most important one bearing on the topic for tonight's discussion is actually one of them, not so much Live H2O, but like you say, there's good news and bad news, light and darkness. And
right.
The darkness is the flu, the pandemic scam, and that you can go to www.fluscam.com, fluscam.com. And then the publishing company is tetrahedron.org. That's been my publisher for many years, Tetrahedron, TetraHedron.org. And then my personal website that has lots of links to all sorts of other websites that I'm involved in is DrLenHorowitz.com. That's DrLenHorowitz.com.
Okay, great. And just give a little bit of your background in public health and your experience, how you came about to look into this, the biological warfare, the pandemics, the the things that are going on the planet and have been going on for quite a while, probably since the 70s.
Well, they've been heating up certainly since the 70s. I think if you really want to, if you really want to start where we should start in this whole evolution of manipulation, coercion, and enslavement and intoxication under the guise of public health, we have to go back to the late 1800s when the Rockefellers started to get funding from the Rothschilds to begin the whole coercion and manipulation of science in the realm of genetics and eugenics, and that the eugenics agenda is extremely important because it has evolved into genetics today, and that's the manipulation of all of life. So it's really a power control issue over and a quest for power control over all of life and all of what God has created. So that you have to go back to, you know, Dr. Levin, 1902, already starting to do genetic research at Rockefeller University, the creation of the labs down at Cold Spring Harbor, then the eugenics agenda with Kaiser Wilhelm Institute for eugenics, anthropology, human heredity, and then follow it into the Nazis, into the Nazi era for racial hygiene, then it was called, and then subsequent to that, man, they actually won World War II. I mean, everybody thinks that the Nazis lost, but you have to understand Martin Bormann, Martin Bormann, Nazi in exile, and you realize he was the money man, and he got away with all the money, and the Bush family was involved, and that the Carnegie's, Vanderbilt's, all of those money families that ran the global cartel essentially were enriched by World War II. And so it was all invested for the rise of the Fourth Reich. And so by the time I then graduated dental school in 77, there was a virus that was actually already loosed that I didn't know about it. And in fact, you know, we just started to get, you know, I graduated Tufts University School of Dental Medicine in 1977. And then I went on a full scholarship fellowship to study surgery and behavioral science at the University of Rochester and oral hygiene behaviors and how to motivate people to take better care of themselves. And I didn't like Rochester, New York, because it wasn't near the ocean and it wasn't near my family. So I really longed to get back to Boston. I came back in 78 and went to Harvard School. First, I did a certificate training program in dental public health. And then when I was working there as a faculty member at Harvard School of Dental Medicine, I was encouraged to go back to postdoctoral training in public health from Harvard University. And I did that, and then I studied with the best, and it was fabulous. And at that time, it was very, very exciting. My own personal views, of course, were very different from most of the public health scholars that I was learning from, but I was learning from people with high integrity, and I was learning from people who really had their hearts in the right places, albeit that they were broadsided and constrained by the scientific agenda. For example, like I remember working with Larry Green, who is a brilliant, beautiful man, who was actually Health and Human Services Director under, Reagan. I think it was part of the Reagan administration. But he was always getting into chats with me about how there's got to be separation of church and state. You know, in science and the agendas, you can't bring in spirit. That means you can't bring in electrogenetics. You can't bring in bioenergy if there's separation of church and state. Because as soon as you do that, now you're dealing with quantum physics and biophysics and true spirituality. So I was always getting into these wonderful discussions with Larry Green. And this was really a time where I was learning and I was growing and I was developing professional community, and I was 1989, 1990, because I was involved in media, health education, health promotion and persuasion technologies, research and development, and because I was involved with the largest dental and medical supply company in the world, Henry Schein Corporation, as their chief professional advisor back in 89 and 90 when the Florida dental AIDS tragedy hit the press and the dental community was losing millions and millions and millions of dollars daily because of the fright, the fear. So I was the perfect go-to guy for the company to actually begin to support with a $100,000 grant earmarked for the American Fund for Dental Health to be able to advance educational programs to reinstill faith in health professionals who were leaving, quitting. There were 10,000 dental hygienists, for example, that left dental hygiene. There was about 20,000 nurses that left nursing because of the fear during those years, early years of AIDS. You had Dr. Lorraine Day and I. She did not see eye to eye with me. She was out there saying, you know, we've got to quit because we've got such a risk of getting stuck by needles and seroconverting. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, no, that's not the truth. You've got to really look at the odds. And if you're going to be involved in healthcare, gee whiz, that tiny little risk, you know, think about Mother Teresa. You know, and you don't have to be a saint to be practicing healthcare. All you have to do is have faith and you have to look at the odds. And it was really right. One seroconversion in 300. Well, what's one in 300? One in 300, that's ridiculously remote chance that you're going to get it because you play, you know, you go to Las Vegas and try to play roulette. One in 32 right. Almost never comes up when you put your money on it. You know, one in 300 is 10 times lower, you know, rate. Now, so anyway, I was very professional. I was very involved. I was on the lecture circuits and training 30,000 healthcare professionals between 1989 and 91 in infection control. I used to routinely recommend vaccinations, particularly the hepatitis B vaccine, even though I had a check in my spirit. I had a check in my heart that something was not right about it, but I didn't know what was not right about it. And what I knew was what I was trained. You know, and what I learned from the drug industrialists that were passed on to me through it's not education, it's indoctrination that I received. So, you know, I was out there, and sadly, it wasn't until later that I learned that, the numbers of people that I had personally caused through my training and teaching to become injured or killed was really thousands. And so I can tell you that it was a shock and a stunning, sad revelation to me that I had been literally a Manchurian candidate for the global elite. You know, and I basically woke up.
Was there more risk of exposing those healthcare workers to the AIDS virus through the Hep B vaccine than there was through the patients?
Oh, yes. You know, I later did the CD called Horowitz on Vaccines. Yeah, it is really fabulous. Everybody that's concerned about getting vaccinated should really listen to that because one of the things on it, besides telling people how to use spiritual religious exemptions to get out of it, the awareness of how hideously suppressed the truth about vaccination toxicity and morbidity and mortality rates skyrocketing from it is where you realize if you simply do an analysis using their data, using what is on the package insert and what is on the Centers for Disease Control's own proclamations, not promoted is the fact that you're losing about 800,000 plus people, conservatively, 800,000 people are dying and or getting seriously chronically injured from hepatitis B vaccine every year. And so that is just a total crisis because that's twice the number of people who are dying from coronary artery diseases.
Yeah, and hepatitis B is treatable.
And hepatitis B is very treatable.
It's not like it's universally fatal.
That's exactly right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I just been saying that, you know, it's one thing if, like, tetanus. You know, I'm a surgeon, so you know, if somebody steps on a rusty nail, tetanus vaccine is the risk-benefit ratio is maybe there. But for the things like mumps, measles, chickenpox, things that aren't fatal in the vast majority of people, the risk of vaccines, especially stimulating the immune system in an adverse manner, causing asthma and all these autoimmune diseases we seem to be having a epidemic of, is ridiculous.
Yeah, and you know, I try to search for the numbers of people who actually get lockjaw or tetanus. And I spoke to so many physicians. It took me several years before I finally found one doctor who had seen one case of tetanus. You know, and so I can tell you, I am a victim of the tetanus vaccine. I have, if I don't watch the pH of my body, if I don't drink enough water, and I don't watch my own body chemistry, and if I eat too many sweets, I will get eczema. Because what happens is that my immune system has been triggered to attack my own body that's facilitated by the acid environment. That it's actually part of the vaccination and intoxication agenda is the acidification of the immune system, whereby it doesn't function optimally anymore. It's confused, it's intoxicated, and it's suppressed. And it's whacked out, in other words. And so this is what causes so many of the autoimmune diseases. But, you know, the issue of looking at, in my humble opinion, based on all the evidence, I now see vaccination as a complete and total scam. Everything, not one vaccine is any good because it all operates on a system of anti-biosis. We're at war with everything. The biological world we're at war with. Now, why are we at war with the world? Why are we at war with nature? Why is nature dying? Why are we dying? Because it's the same philosophy that's completely idiotic, that has been completely manipulated by the same drug industrialists that are profiteering off of humanity's suffering. So if we go back and rethink, well, how can we have probiosis? How can we love? How can we really appreciate water in us as being part of a triune God, how understanding how miracles can manifest electromagnetically, biophysically, bioacoustically, everything is sound and light. And we are sound and light beings. And so we don't need to intoxicate ourselves and our planet in order to have miracle healings. And this is the whole different shift in understanding that we're advancing with Live H2O, Concert for the Living Water, next weekend.
So you were at Harvard when the flu scare occurred. Was it 1979 or 1976?
Let's see. 76, I was still in Boston at Tufts University, and you know, we had
76 scare, because that's very that's a very interesting thing that occurred.
Yes, it's sad. I was exactly like you said. I was in Boston. That's when I lost my mother. That was 1977. The swine flu vaccine was what my mother got that started to make her really sick. She got Guillain-Barré, like so many tens of thousands of other people suffered from the autoimmune disease called Guillain-Barré syndrome from that first swine flu vaccine. And she subsequently developed really paralysis, and then because she started to come through, and then she still had a very problematic immune system because they had put her on steroids. And that because of that, she had immune suppression and developed cancer, and a few radiation treatments later, my mother was dead. Now, that was, 77, about 80. That's about right. That's 1980 now is when I'm now back in Boston and I'm dealing with that. And then I'm just now starting to wake up. You know, I'm just starting to wake up with, and
but
I'm
actually
gonna,
when it was happening in 76, you didn't really get the picture yet. Is that right?
When the
flu vaccine was coming out?
No, I didn't know that medicine was genocide. that virtually the entire field is ripe with genocide. It's basically, it's ripe with fraud, it's genocidal. 10% of it is great because you've got the surgeons who are artists who basically are very much engaged in, you know, the physical requirements of surgery, accident, remediation. And that you now have this whole other pharmaceutical aspect that detracts from the beauty and the art and the science of surgery and healing. And I was involved in both, and it was just then that I started to realize, well, what's going on with my mom? You know, how is this happening? And then at the same time now, this is 1984, I'm starting to get word of this AIDS crisis, you know, and we're being alerted, and we're starting to get training in HIV/AIDS. And then that led me up to, like, the late 80s, where now suddenly I am really at the top of my field, and then I'm actually on the lecture circuit, and that's where I was getting checks in my spirit, you know, about recommending hepatitis B. But it really wasn't until the full measure of what I just shared at the beginning of this show that came, that happened because I fell into a government cover-up in 1989. My first one I really realized because, again, I was at the top of my field. I was going to the public health meetings internationally. I was presenting scientific papers there, and I was, you know, having collaborators and communications with the top people at the CDC, and they published a article that came out in the field explaining or allegedly keeping a mystery is really what it amounted to. It really kept a mystery about how it was that the Florida Dental AIDS tragedy occurred, where one doctor, David Acker in South Florida, had infected six of his patients with his strain of HIV/AIDS. That's a case that I had to do my due diligence on, and I was the only one in the world actually that solved the mystery of the case. And I had to go out of the United States into the British Dental Journal because the Journal of the American Dental Association refused to publish it. Dr. Metzger, who was the editor, wrote me a nice letter saying, Len, you know, we know you're right, but we can't publish this.
So much for free press, huh?
Yeah, right, so much for free press, because he said it would not be good for the journal. It would detract
advertising and everything.
The advertising, exactly right. Because, you know, by that time, the industry had grown because of the fright. See, that's the beauty of the generating fear if you're a drug industrialist. If you now are generating this whole psychological operation, PSYOPs, on fear of the flu, and you hold the multi-billion dollar contracts for stockpiling these bioweapons, which they are. They're intended to kill off a certain population, number of people, and not so much protect against the flu. If you hold the contracts to profit, then you're going to pay for several million dollars in broadcasting propaganda and spinning frights, and that's what this is all about to begin with. But you see, at the very highest levels, I want to go back to what I just said, this is genocide and this is a depopulation agenda. Very few people really get that. And people who are working in the industry, they don't really get that. It's like what Jesus said, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. And they don't know that they're really serving a global beast that has the most hideous anti-God agenda. So, and you know, it's like, it's really an amazing thing once you wake up to see what's going down, to see how this genocide is so easily accomplished.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, you lower the oxygen level, you change the water, you change the air, your book, Death in the Air, you spray some things that affect the immune system, you hit them with you hit them with the fluoride, you hit them with the mercury in the dental materials, you hit them with whatever's in the chemtrails, you hit them from all ends, and essentially, you've got a population that will eventually get cancer because their immune system isn't there. Look at the cancer rates.
Yeah, the most profitable depopulation agenda. Intoxicate the human temple by every way possible. The air, contaminated
bad water, bad air, you know,
yeah.
Intracellular bacteria that depress the immune system. You've got spirochetes, you've got mycoplasmas, you've got the whole, you know, cell wall deficient form. I kind of figured that out when I interviewed Dr. Lydia Matman, who is the author of the textbook Cell Wall Deficient Forms, and she told me that the government had a court order so she couldn't talk about her findings regarding MS with any doctors. That's weird. That's very weird.
You know, I heard of her great work, yeah.
So, well, she was devastated. This is her whole field. She's the number one expert in the world on it, and she can talk to anybody about it. Why? She can't talk to people because it's an agenda, a hidden agenda that they don't want researched.
That's right.
Or known about. And you know, just my interviews with you, I've interviewed Dr. Garth Nicholson, I don't know, 6 times, Dr. Lydia Matman. You put it together. I mean, you know, it's one big picture. And I wanted to ask you one thing about electromagnetic fields, low-frequency electromagnetic fields. I had gotten some information that you could use low-frequency electromagnetic fields to decrease fertility rates. Have you read anything about that?
No, except for, not that I say no. I have. I'm not an expert, and I don't really feel comfortable going into details about it, but just give you an overview. You see, mm-hmm. what we're doing with the concept of the living water, we are advancing the understanding that 528 hertz frequency is mm-hmm. the closest thing that we know to love, that warm, fuzzy feeling in your heart, and love, the universal
right.
healer. And, you know, when you're in love, you're kind of like, man, you're just high.
You're into everything.
Everything. Yeah, so basically we know that's a frequency, and we know that that's
right.
the third note of the original musical scale, and we know that that musical scale forms a perfect circle of sound with 9 core creative frequencies, and that is the fundamental musical mathematical matrix of the universe, that everything in the universe comes out of 9 frequencies, with love being the center of it, with 528 hertz
mm-hmm.
being the center of it. Now, what is that, what did I just say? Well, I just said that this is what is akin to the kingdom of heaven in the religious
right.
world. You know, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven, then all else will come unto you. And he said the kingdom of heaven is near.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't mean temporally far off in time. It's right here, right now, like a quantum
right.
field that we're operating in. And he also said there's nothing missing or broken in the kingdom of heaven, meaning there's no dis-ease, there's no dissonance. So
mm-hmm.
if we understand who we are as spirit-filled beings, if we understand how nature actually operates in balance, then if you simply take aberrant frequencies, such as like the ones you're talking about, and you
mm-hmm.
expose humanity and biology to aberrations and frequency vibrations that cause genetic disturbances, electromagnetic waveforms that are toxic, then you're going to obviously take us out of the kingdom of heaven, take us out of this perfection that has been built in by design. And you then now create a manipulation of the population electromagnetically, even bioacoustically, that is something that you can profit off of. You can make money making people sick. And this is, in essence, what they've done. If you realize the music, for example, that we're all listening to is
mm-hmm.
is made in A440 hertz. Western music is played to a standard tuning that the Rockefellers advanced, that
mm-hmm.
the Nazi propagandist Joseph Goebbels actually instituted for the world, this A440 tuning. Why did they choose that? Well, the research that we show today is they chose that specifically because it has the capacity to hold down the heart love frequency the most.
Mm-hmm.
It really suppresses love. and it activates the egoic fear-based mind. You know, so we show we now have proven that that was no accident. That was done intentionally to dumb down humanity and enslave us. Now, the language that we're speaking is another hideous atrocity and attack to dumb humanity down. We now know that the English language was constructed in the 1400s by people who wanted to create the, quote, New World language for the New World Order, and that they used ancient sacred languages, and the mathematics upon which those languages were based was the music. This music I'm talking about, the perfect circle of sound frequencies, ultimately reflects and explains how sacred languages are sacred because they allow for this divine human communion, this capacity to sync your heart and your lips, your creative instruments, with the entire universe. And so this is what they took to start, and they flipped it completely backwards. That's what English language is. We've proven that. And so, I mean, mathematically, solid proof. There's no question about it. And so this is the incredible times in which we live now. We understand what was done to us. We understand we've been suppressed. We're divine beings having a human experience, and that the people who are controlling at the very, very top, they have manipulated every aspect of life to gain the maximum control.
And the three languages were the ancient Aramaic, Sanskrit, and Hebrew that you demonstrated on your DVD, that if you speak these languages onto a cymetics plate, they actually do cause the sand to vibrate into the letters. Is that right?
Well, you know, that there was a controversy about that. I actually issued a correction and retraction, having gotten letters from the gentleman who was supposed to have said that. So, in essence, part of that's true and part of it's not true. But the reality is that sound does have a cymatic impact. That is,
right. And those three languages are a lot purer than, say, English and some of the more modern languages.
Yes, that's exactly right, including ancient Babylonian. Now, remember in the Bible, the Creator confused the tongues of the people that were speaking Babylonian because they were virtually empowered nearly as much as the Creator was empowered.
Right.
And they became egocentric about it. They didn't give praise and glory to the Source. So the Creator said, I'm not going to put up with this. He says, I'm going to confuse their tongues and disempower them. Now, what does that tell you? A couple things. Number one is it tells you, you better keep your faith and trust in the boss, otherwise you're going to get whacked. And the other thing it tells you is that the powerful creative technology that we have is our lips, is our spoken word, and the tongues. And if we have a confusion of the tongues, then we're maximally downgraded. And that's what's happened with today's English language.
Right. So tell us a little bit, let's switch back to the flu for now. Tell us a little bit about what we can do to protect ourselves against the, not just the swine flu that's supposedly going around, but the regular flu, how important it is to alkalize the body, antiviral things that you might recommend, and other things that we might do rather than just running out and getting the flu vaccine.
Oh, yeah, well, that's the, you don't want to do that no matter what. Do not, under any circumstance,
get
the flu vaccines. And, you know, if somebody tells you that you've got to, tell them that it's against your spiritual religious exemption and that you're going to quarantine yourself in your basement. You know, basically, do not get intoxicated. Do not take the mark of the beast. Do not pass go. Go directly to God. Go to safety and basically do whatever you need to do that. The reality is that I don't worry about the flu at all. Number one, what you're talking about is the body chemistry. What that's about is spirituality. If you have a full, powerful spirit, again, you know, you can be Mother Teresa. You can be engaged in in working like Jesus was working with people with plagues all around them, and he was producing miracles, and so was she doing beautiful, magnificent, heartfelt love, saintly work. So how do you bring that into your own life? Well, it's pretty simple. You follow the directions that I've been telling you. The same thing that Jesus told you. You know, where's your faith? You're healed by faith and trust. So you build up that spirit. You build up your light body. That is critically required today, urgently required, if you plan to survive. We're at that point in history where you've got to bring that Holy Spirit power of love and of protection into your own body temple. Now, if you want a wonderful, wonderful crutch, that's OxySilver, the top-of-the-line silver hydrosol that actually operates using your own prayer. It actually magnifies and amplifies your protection, heartfelt, loving intention to create prevention and prevent these diseases from striking you. That's OxySilver. It's a water, of course. It's a mineral water with a nanoparticle-sized silver that's bonded to the oxygen. Now, what does that do? Well, water is a superconductor. It's a liquid crystal superconductor that conducts energy and sound frequency like a homeopathic. We have 528 hertz frequency of love in there for the reasons I've already mentioned. And then it has nano silver that is also a superconductor. So it's a double superconductor. Well, gee whiz, the nano silver alone, if you look at how NASA used it to protect the astronauts in space, and then the drug industrialists suppress it from humanity because they want to, again, institute this population manipulation and toxicity, you realize that we have the capacity to free ourselves from all infectious diseases from planet Earth. You mentioned hepatitis earlier. You know, that's another thing. When you're taking OxySilver, if you were under the care of a good physician who was administering IV OxySilver or some of the other even good silver hydrosols, just read the scientific literature. There's a ton that tells you and explains why, you know, why they charge $800 for an 8-ounce bottle. You know, we're coming to market with it for about less than $50 a bottle, and we're actually inviting people to become the affiliates and the cooperative members so that you can go out there and save lives, and then you can make 40% on a five-level scale. So it can be something that would be lucrative for you if you want to, if you need the money yourselves, and a lot of people do. It's a wonderful opportunity. If you want to donate that money to an organization like we're doing with Live H2O, that's a wonderful thing to do too. But the reality is that you want to, number one, save lives, and most importantly, beyond even saving lives, because it's life-saving, the truth shall set you free. It's like in Jesus' day, people wanted to know, how did he do that? In today's day, we want to know not only that, but we want to know, how did OxySilver cure that person? You know, and how did this manifest? And if you ask those questions, then you suddenly open up into this realm of understanding how healing actually happens and how to facilitate even miraculous healings very practically and simply. That's the beauty of OxySilver.
And you had some, on the Morgellons protocol, we have one of your other products that is featured here, the Tetrasil. That's...
Yeah, that's another amazing product. I was so pleased to have that and still do. If you have any skin infections, you don't want to use the garbage that are typical, the ointments and the suppressants and intoxication antibiotics. What you've got in Tetrasil is you have a tetrasilver tetroxide. That's four atoms of silver combined with four atoms of oxygen in a pyramid structure that actually works by electrocuting. It does not work chemically. There's nothing toxic about silver or oxygen. It works because of the pyramid structure of the silver and the oxygen and both being extreme superconductors. You see, oxygen is the carrier of electrons. Like H plus plus OH minus equals H2O, water. That is the simple chemical equation of the universe. All of the energy throughout the entire universe is coming through the water, and it's all electrons. It is the piezoelectricity of not just the human body, but the entire universal body and cosmology. Everything in the universe is a piezoelectrical system because of the water which exists throughout the universe. So you, if you bring this understanding into the body and healing, and you use silver, which has, which is electron rich, and it actually, when it's combined with oxygen, it actually causes a electrocution. It not only robs the electrons from the germs, the pathogens, the bacteria, viruses, fungus, it does that by destabilizing the membranes energetically, but it also actually, and we have a video of this, it's a shame that we haven't put it up on YouTube. It would be astonishing and a big blessing to do that. I'll have to see if I have to work on it. There's been so many other things. But we can show you, if you put the nitrogenous groups, which is the external membrane of the pathogens, like cell cultures, you have the addition of silver in various forms. The only culture dish that actually blows up, flames shoot out, is when you put the pathogenic nitrogenous groups into oxysilver. And it does that by the ambient energy in the universe, literally the flow of energy through the universe, magnified, amplified by the superconductor of silver and oxygen, literally explodes. And if you do it in a culture dish where there's a ton of bacteria, there's a ton of explosion. And it actually shows a flame. And literally, it's just unbelievable. You can't believe it. It looks like gunpowder going off. And
really?
Yeah, it's truly remarkable. Now that, again, that's a suppressed product because of that simple, provable, visible effect. Can you imagine the drug industrialists, what would happen if word got out about what I just said? It would be the complete end to the entire field of antibiosis.
Right.
You would totally eliminate antibiotics and even vaccinations.
Right. Well, that's why that the FDA is trying to regulate these supplements, especially silver.
That's exactly right. And that's why that right now, if you go to nanoscam.com, it's a website that I put together dedicated to exposing how they're doing this against the silver industry, particularly the nano-silver industry. They're targeting, like OxySilver, now they're actually targeting with a multi-million-dollar publicity campaign, an additional legal lawsuit against the Environmental Protection Agency, for demanding that the EPA classify OxySilver as a pesticide because it kills germs.
Because it kills germs, yeah. That's very interesting. Well, there's no question that there's a significant threat against the availability of supplements. I heard this week that NAC was we were trying to reorder it because we have a lot of people that are detoxing, obviously. And it's temporarily unavailable. And what my staff was telling me was because of potential problems with the FDA.
Yeah.
I have to confirm that, but that's very interesting. That, you know, because over the years, our better immune agents have disappeared off the shelf for the same reason, you know, just all of a sudden become unavailable. So right now we've got Dioxychlor and NAC unavailable when we tried to reorder this week.
Oh, yeah. But this is the thing, you know, we've watched hideous, you know, attacks against health freedoms and the people's availability, capability to receive, like, a ginseng, American ginseng. We've got stevia regulated now. Mm-hmm. This is horrible, just horrible. You know, they're going to give you sugar. You know, white table sugar, one of the most toxic drugs. They're going to give you caffeine. They allow nicotine. They allow alcohol. They allow aspartame. You know, all of these hideous, and Tamiflu, totally toxic, mind-numbing, brain, you know, neurologically impairing, genocidal drugs they're going to give you, but they're going to regulate the little white powder that grows on little green leaves that eliminates not only diabetes, but, you know, sugar cravings and hypoglycemic attacks. You know, just like unbelievable how disgusting and despicable these people are, and they get away with it.
Well, it's going to be interesting in the next few years. What do you foresee with the predictions that the swine flu and the bird flu may combine and come back with a vengeance this fall?
Well, that's why I, in the very, very beginning of this program, I urge you to go to fluscam.com. www.fluscam.com. And my predictions are on there. It's not just predictions. It's a lot of facts that expose the global industrialists and who's doing what and why. What I am predicting based on what they're telling us is that by the fall, the Barack Obama administration is going to be administering 3 shots in vaccinations to every American, and that they've loosed this already, the beast, the big one, according to the intelligence that I've received. They have, Baxter Corporation has just stockpiled several of the largest European nations. Billions of dollars of vaccines have been sold now and being delivered right now.
Is that for the bird flu?
That's for the recombinant H5N1 bird flu and the swine flu that's currently circulating.
Okay.
So, and plus the what they say is the annual flu. Now, so in other words, this is a done deal. And that's why the World Health Organization, who's controlled largely by the Rockefeller cartel, came out yesterday and said we're going to level 6.
Right.
Flu alert. You know, because that's the highest level. We actually have a pandemic that's getting worse and worse, and we're going to see this come back with vengeance in the fall as the big one.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you that H5N1 kills 60% of the human beings that it infects. So this could be a play out of literally the book of Revelation, where the great plague strike. Now, what makes me more sure that this is for real versus just a psychological operation and a money-making fright is that the Baxter Corporation that made the most money here, they have already loosed H5N1 avian flu. They did it through
the vaccine itself.
The vaccine itself. They sent the vaccine to 18 countries. This came out about 3 months ago, where the vaccine contained inexplicably, they couldn't explain how H5N1 active live virus was in that vaccine that they shipped to 18 European nations, which was used. So they used it, and then they said it was just an accident, and it was on, you know, page 25. It came out in a quick blurb in the international press, and of course nobody wanted to follow it up because it's too devastating.
They're allowed to continue.
That's right.
I mean, you know, that's the crazy part of it.
Yeah. So the next thing is
a slap on the wrist, probably not going to be fine.
That's exactly right. And then you've got two other things you've got to think about is the Baxter Corporation was also involved in the train accident, apparently, where there was somebody delivering those viruses by train in a cold chest, and they had packed it with dry ice too close to the vials, and the vials exploded in the train, exposing at least 150 passengers that they rushed to the hospital after they found out. But that was like stops later where people got out and they went out into the public. So they seeded Europe with both H5N1 at the time and potentially other, the Spanish flu is H1N1. They could have also had that in there in the mix because recombinant.
So they need to spread the bird flu doesn't spread very well, according to the scientists. It doesn't live very well, so you need to combine them for it to spread.
Exactly.
I mean, that's
right.
The problem.
Exactly.
You know?
Right. That's
so
exactly
I think
right.
I think the original intent was to spread the bird flu, but it kind of didn't spread well, so they had to bring in the swine flu.
You know, I'm watching a completely ingenious depopulation agenda unfold. Let me tell you, it started in this particular case in 2006,
mm-hmm.
3 years ago, in a backdoor meeting with World Health Organization think tank officials for influenza. Dr. James Robertson from the UK is in charge of all of these types of viruses and programs
mm-hmm.
for the European Economic Union and the World Health Organization. He's the guy that distributes these types of viruses and now is making lots of money as they're commercialized.
Mm-hmm.
I have all of that documentation referenced and visible in the YouTube documentary as well as on that website, fluscam.com. You
mm-hmm.
you realize that Mexican flu outbreak in April was a priming, like you're saying, a priming of the population with weaker flu viruses that would recombine readily because they are man-made laboratory creations. People, and Dr. Gibbs came out and said this, and of course the CDC and the World Health Organization scoffed at it and demonized him. But he had done the genetic analysis, and he's very capable of doing that reputably, and he showed that because of the rapid mutation rates, that this flu is a man-made laboratory creation that somehow got out of the lab. And I'm
right.
saying it got out by intention. And the doctors, if you're going to give them, if you got to give them credit, or if you've got to say that these people are not genocidal by intent, you look at what they've said in that meeting. They said there was going to be a big one coming. If there was going to be a global pandemic, it would be wise to, quote, prime, end quote, the population with weaker viruses that would then cause the immunity against the plague that is going to come. That's what you're talking about. And that's what
mm-hmm.
they did with the Mexican flu. And so this is now a weaker virus that's circulating. When it reaches the population that had been exposed to the H5N1 from the train accident and from the vaccine accident in Europe, it is going to suddenly become this huge killer. And this is what they're not telling you. They're telling you it's coming. They're telling you we're raising the level of concern and risk
right.
and alert, but they're not telling you that the global industrialists have actually seeded this and orchestrated it.
Right. Well, probably the whole purpose of it, though, is to lead to the mandatory vaccinations. I mean, I think that plays into it a great deal.
I totally agree. And that's the biggest genocide.
That's
the number one
possibilities. And,
yeah.
All of that. Well, we're coming up to the end of our hour. I really appreciate your taking some time to educate us on this topic, and we need to keep in touch because this is a rapidly developing thing. We'll probably have you back on before the fall because that's when the next segment of this is going to be up for the world's population, and that like they said, the possibility of the swine and the bird flu combining in a human and then having it be more transmissible, and then what the folks behind this are going to do in terms of the mandatory vaccines. So it's an interesting development, and certainly everybody in the health field needs to be educated about this because we're the ones that are exposed and we're the ones that are, giving recommendations to the public as well.
Yeah. Now, again, the first thing that we need to educate the people about is that
mm-hmm.
Baxter, the primary organization that's advancing these vaccines, they have a hideous history. These are the people that spread HIV/AIDS through blood clotting factor 8. These are the people that had the bogus heparin that killed thousands and thousands of people. This was the same company. And so they have a hideous history of making money off of humanity's toxicity. So please, everybody, do the same thing that we did with smallpox. We got people awake and aware enough that they stopped taking it. I just read yesterday an article from the LA Times of a military, a Marine who received the smallpox vaccine from the military. It gave him acute leukemia and also cost him the lower part of his body. They had to amputate his lower body because of a super infection that he got from the smallpox vaccine. This is a Canvas organization which is aligned with Baxter. These are the same global industrialists. By the way, the number one American propagandist working for Homeland Security is Michael Osterholm, a complete prostitute. The wicked, you know, warlock of the West is Michael Osterholm in the realm of vaccination, intoxication. And he's been coming out and saying, since the World Health Organization now has declared level 6, that every American should be vaccinated now. This guy was basically linked to Bioport and the production of the Bioport's anthrax vaccines. They were linked to a Canvas group promoting smallpox and anthrax vaccines. It's, in other words, it's a good old boy network, and they've got a couple prostitutes at the forefront. Michael Osterholm is one of them.
Well, thanks, Lynn. We're at the end of our hour, and I appreciate you joining us. And next week, we will return with Temple of Health with Dr. Laszlo, Science and the Reenchantment of the Cosmos. Thanks, Lynn. We appreciate the information.
Pleasure, Susan. Thanks a lot. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
Bye.